Well, thank you very much. What I want to do is report on some research I've been doing of historical films, historical film series that I think has potential for use by occupational safety and health folks from better understanding and enriching our history that we know about, but also use in education and training in a number of ways, and maybe some other uses that may show up later. And I'm only beginning to look at this resource and kind of make it accessible digitally, but I thought I'd do this reporting today. So I have nothing to disclose, and I want to thank the NIHS for some support for this work. So back in about 1910, 1911, the U.S. Bureau of Mines, which had recently been formed, decided that they want to take advantage of this advanced training technology called films and use that to highlight American industry, use it to highlight health and safety and other issues. And so they were searching how to do that, but they were constrained by money. So, you know, nothing's new. So they decided that they would try a model where they would have a small program and they would partner with employers, corporations who would actually do the filming, incur all the costs, and then the government would give them a little guidance on what they were hoping to get, and then the government would put their stamp on it and along with the company, and they would distribute it. And they ended up doing this for up until about the late 1970s. And I want to go through some of the examples that I've been finding of this. There was also a small program with the Department of Commerce that took advantage of a lot of these films and used them to distribute them internationally. The Bureau of Mines mostly distributed them around the U.S. and often to community and worker populations. And at points in the 20s and 30s, these films were being seen by several million people a year and were being sent out for free around the country. So they seemed to have a big impact in their time. The problem to keep in mind is that these essentially were corporate propaganda films that the industry put out to highlight themselves, and the government put their stamp on it. But I think given we keep that in mind, we can still use these films in some interesting ways. Okay. There was another model that another organization at the same time was looking at, and they decided to use a model where the government would actually pay for the films and control the film content. And that ended up migrating to Canada and became the predecessor for the Canadian Film Board, which has had a long and valued history in good films. So it turns out that the U.S. National Archive, which is film library, which is housed at the University of Maryland, has a collection of almost 300 of these films that were made back in this period of time. Some of the information's a little fuzzy. They say 1913, but some of the films were made in 1910. This is kind of a their listing of the types of films that were produced by corporations and funneled through the Bureau of Mines. So a lot of them were, of course, around mining, because this was a big issue when the Industrial Revolution was beginning. So coal mining, asbestos had a major presence in these films, lead, copper, nickel, sulfur, zinc, and lots of other things. There were some things in both outside, mostly were in the U.S., but some in Mexico and Latin America. But then it expanded into the automobile and the automobile industry as that industry was growing. There were also looks at industrial products like dynamite and steel and safety glass and other things like that. And then power, steam, water, electrical power. And then some processes like welding and oxyacetylene torches. And then there were a series of films that looked at health and safety issues specifically. And then there was a series of miscellaneous films that included some coal mine disasters and some other things. This last one was a film with on the automobile, development of the automobile with the Studebaker Corporation. So a wide variety of films that make it a bigger resource than you might think when you think about U.S. Bureau of Mines. Okay. So what I started 9 years ago was this historical health and safety film channel that I ended up putting on YouTube as an experiment. And, you know, 9 years ago, we didn't really know what YouTube was. Now we all know what YouTube is, right? So this, I continue to operate this channel, and I've been posting some of these Bureau of Mine films that I've been able to get access to this, so they're publicly available. This URL is on the back of your health and safety section program, so you can have that with you when you go. The film, this channel has currently got more than 1,000 films uploaded and information about the films, and it's approaching 7 million hits, so over 9 years, so not bad. And the way that I think some of these historical films could be used is, again, to give us, to enrich our historical perspective, and I'm going to give some examples as I go through my presentation. It's also, I think, there's a lot of potential for this for use as triggers in discussion for both health and safety professional trainings, but all the worker training that many of us do, especially refresher classes that we're always looking for new and interesting ways to talk about old material. And interestingly, some of these U.S. Bureau of Mine films I've heard have been used as evidence in legal proceedings, workers' comp, and other cases where the question is, what was it like to work 30, 40, 50 years ago? And if you're lucky enough, if the attorney is lucky enough to find an industry or a job that shows up in some of these films, we have these wonderful corporate films that show what safety and health was like. Because OSHA didn't exist most of the time during the making of these films, and they really didn't think a whole lot like they do now when they put their films out, and they're much more cautious, except in a few instances, which I'll describe. So on the channel, I've created a playlist which has many of the films that I'm going to talk about here in the next few minutes. So you can have easy access to those. So probably at the archive, maybe 10% of those 300 films have been are now available because they're mostly film prints. Many of them have not been digitized or even put on videotape yet. So it's a longer process, and we're working on that to get more of these films out. Some of the films have shown up in other archives on the internet. So this is mostly from the U.S. Archive. Okay. So the earliest film that I found is this film called An American in the Making, and it's basically a film that has the very official government stamp on it, so it looks very official, it must be right. But here's who made it. It's the U.S. Steel. And it is a film that goes through an Eastern European immigrant comes to this country and learns how to be a good worker, according to U.S. Steel. And there's lots of safety and health embedded into it about how not to hurt yourself and how to be a good worker and learn English and all these other things. So it's got a sort of an interesting history. It was one of the first films where they actually looked at accident prevention, according to the U.S. Bureau of Mines. Okay. The latest film that I found was this one, Protection Against Radioactivity in Uranium Mines. And this was made probably in the mid to late 1960s. And it's actually a 20-minute film that includes incredible detail on engineering controls, ventilation, ways of protecting workers from radon daughters and uranium byproducts in the uranium mines in the western U.S. What's interesting is when you compare this film to what we now know happened in those mines at the time, none of this actually took place, it seemed. So it's a wonderful film about what they could have done, but apparently never did. And then there's this interesting connection with Johns Manville. So there are at least three films that Johns Manville made over the decades on the story of asbestos, promoting their products and promoting their industry. And so this was an early film. They had an early film from 1920. This film from 1930 shows the application of build-up asbestos roofing, and which has been something many of us have worked on in the last 20 years on asbestos removal issues. Some of the quality is not very good. We really need to go back and re-get the original films and redo the quality here, but I've got some of the best ones I could. This was a 1959 Johns Manville film, Asbestos, A Matter of Time, which is a really remarkable film in terms of how much they show about how many types of products in different places were used with asbestos, and this is one of their PR films. What's interesting in all the asbestos films, what do you think is never mentioned? There's never any mention of any asbestos-related diseases. In this film, there is one mention where they talk about ventilation, but they don't really say why they talk about it. So, but this is at a time when they're, you know, it's before Selikoff and before asbestos was hazards were more well known, but there were certainly lots of people in the government and other places knew the dangers of asbestos and knew that it wasn't being talked about in these films. So sometimes the health and safety issues, especially the health issues, are jarringly present in their absence in these films. And of course, Johns Manville gets a credit. This is another kind of interesting film that was put out by one of the oil companies in 1948. It's the only, and there were probably four or five films about the petroleum industry and gasoline that the industry put out over this time with the Bureau of Mines. This is the only one that mentions adding lead. And they have this wonderful little scene where they show how they add this red-dyed lead, tetraethyl lead, to the gasoline. And if you think about the history of it, they weren't going to talk about it in the 20s because there was a lot of controversy about lead. And into the 30s, they waited until after World War II, and then they talked about the wonderful benefits of lead for increasing power for engines. And then it doesn't show up in another later film as lead becomes more of an issue in public health. So this is an interesting film for me personally on the manufacture of calcium carbide. A week after I found this film and got it from the National Archive, there was an explosion at the only calcium carbide plant in the U.S. in Louisville, Kentucky, and two workers died. They turned out to be SEIU members of a small group of industrial unions that we have, and that we didn't know they were our members. And so, because I had seen this film, I actually had a better understanding of what the hazards were and what happened by looking at this old film. The process had not changed all that much over the decades. This is a film about a zinc smelting plant in Pennsylvania. And this is a film that, this is a type of a facility that was implicated in causing some of the big air pollution, early air pollution disasters in the U.S. and Pennsylvania. This type of zinc plant was linked in the, what was the site, in the Nora. So you can look at this and see how this whole process worked and look at how these plants operated back then. And then the Nora was a few years after this. And then I think part of enriching our history of our section and our work is a couple of films here. This one on the kind of manufacturing of dynamite that DuPont helped the Bureau of Mines with, 1926. This was only a few years after Alice Hamilton did extensive studies on the hazards to workers of manufacturing dynamite. And so you can sort of see this process and go back and read in her autobiography about that work and make up some interesting connections. Okay. This is from a film on lead ore mining in the tri-state area in Missouri around St. Louis, which was in the 30s, was a huge issue for silicosis and lead poisoning. Of course, they're not mentioned in this film at all, but you can sort of see the whole process. And then they did some films on issues like carbon monoxide. There's actually a wonderful film of someone sampling the air in a mine with a real canary, which is, you know, the story we've always heard, but I've never actually seen it on film, so we actually have a photograph. And one of the first self-contained breathing apparatuses used in mines in 1926. And then actually a really wonderful film in 1965 on the magic of fire with really tremendous demonstrations on fire hazards and all the properties of fire. So I think there's a lot of things in here that we could continue to look at and gather from and use for these various purposes. And there are a series of other collections of films waiting to be explored, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce did a TV series about work in the late 50s, and the AFL-CIO did a competing series right after that. So there's a whole series of shorts about work from those two points of view that we have to find and digitize and make available to everybody. So anyway, I'd be happy to talk to folks more about this and take a look at the channel and take a look at some of those films and hope you can use them. Thank you.